Strike a Chord Podcast, music chit chat with your hosts Valentina Gikowski and Amla Piriakabu. Welcome to Strike a Chord, and on today's episode we have the awesomely beautiful and up and coming artist Dilan Ulsoy. Welcome.
Thank you. Woo-hoo. Thank you, guys.
Now, you are a natural talent. I know because I've seen it firsthand. We have done some gigs before and we have played before. Where did it all start for Dilan? Where did it all start? Was there an inspiration somewhere, or you know, was it too young that for you to remember?
Yeah.
Where did it all start?
It was very young, but also both my parents' sides of the family are very musical. So my mum was a singer.
That's
and
right.
Her side of the family is pretty musical, and my dad is not musical, but his side of the family is very musical.
Yeah.
So it was always part of my life, and I have an older brother and sister too. So they both got into music. Then when I was about 3, I started playing the piano. Like, I had this little baby keyboard that I would just like play by ear and stuff. And then we all got into piano, but it was classical piano and violin for a very long time, like most of my life.
So you went through the training, the formal training as well?
Yes, yeah.
How was that?
Yeah, it's funny to think about now, because I feel like my musical journey and like my personal journey as a person, like they go hand in hand. And I feel like, I don't know if this is the same for everyone, but like when you're younger, you don't really have a sense of self, and like you don't really know yourself, and
you don't find
yourself for a while or know your identity. So that was like a big part of my identity, but I just always felt like it wasn't really me.
Yeah.
But it was very conflicting, because like it was such a strength of mine. So I took it through like into my adult years, and I studied at the conservatorium, but like it wasn't really me. And then when I finished my degree, I sort of left the classical stuff in a corner and kind of branched out. Oh my god, is this the same thing?
Same story.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah. So like I haven't like fully closed that door, but it was very like bittersweet, because I wanted to leave it there, but I placed so much of my value into it, because it was such a strength of mine, and I was good at it, and everyone was telling me my potential and you can do this, you can do this. But like, it just wasn't me.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, look, and I wasn't really putting in 100% either into it. So that's when I kind of branched out into my singing and everything after that, which was also hard for me to do, because you hold yourself at this classical standard, and you haven't, well, I haven't been trained in singing or anything. So I was
like, you did go into your singing, because you're one of those rare people that can jump in, sing, play, and do everything in real time on the fly. So that's just amazing. Going back to your studies, do you think that has helped you in some way of your singing and everything else? Do you think that has helped maybe subconsciously maybe, or you know?
I think, look, it did improve my skills, I think, as a
technical
player.
Yeah.
But it didn't really prepare me for singing, or because it's a very different performing environment. Classical environment is very strict and
very conservative.
Like the audience is almost kind of judging you.
Oh yeah.
There's a lot of like criticism, and there's right and wrong, and you can do this, you can't do that. Whereas like in singing, it's very free, as in what we're doing, and like when we play together we improvise, and there's no right and wrong. It's just you and it's your style, and
It's
very different, and it's very liberating, but at the same time, it's hard to break out of that mindset, because every classical musician is a perfectionist, and there's always this like, I'm not good enough. And I've had that since I was 3. So it's basically become like a core belief of mine, and it's really hard to, like, I think I've overcome it a lot, but it's very hard to let go of that standard that I have of myself.
Instilled.
That's the 100%. Programming from that world, that whether they intended or not, it's that, like you said, it's that drilling of there's this right, or that note was too loud, that note was too soft, or your tone was a bit harsh there, and yeah, a lot of judging and
exactly,
and us going, I'm not good enough, I'm not that, being drilled in. It's a lot of unlearning, isn't
exactly
it?
Exactly. Yeah. And the people that are passionate in that thrive in there.
But oh, yeah.
It can actually destroy you. Like, I remember I came out of that course and it was after lockdown too. So it was even like more intense because we had our lessons over Zoom.
Gee, yeah.
And it was just very challenging for both parties, like the teachers as well. But then we also had to record ourselves. Like, we'd have a 35-minute recital at the end of the semester that we'd have to record.
You recorded the recital?
Yeah, it was disgusting.
That's an added pressure. I think that's an added challenge.
Yeah.
Just like destroys you. And it destroys your confidence a bit because you're constantly like going back and you're watching this and you're like, it's not good enough. And like by the end, I was like, pretty done with it, but I was like, you know what, I'm gonna record this recital, I'm gonna put my 100% into it, and then I'm gonna upload it on Facebook. I was like, I'm gonna upload it and I'm gonna like say I've done this for myself.
And you should be proud of that.
And I never uploaded it.
And now the time has passed.
I never uploaded it because I was like, I watched it back so many times. I was like, it's just not good enough. Yeah. And then I've watched it back like a couple years later and I'm like, what the hell? Like, it is good enough. It is enough.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you know.
And I think that that world, because I studied classical guitar too.
Yeah, you would.
And I never put myself as a classical guitarist because I was always flamenco because there was nowhere to learn here and to become literate. So my dad goes, oh, look, just do classical guitar. I will give it a shot, but I know what you mean because every single one of those exams, those AMEB exams and everything, those oral tests and everything, and mind you, I got honors in it, but it was like a robot. You have
to
do it.
That's a great way of robotic. It's very mechanical, robotic. Yeah.
How many times have we had conversations about sort of that? And before what you were saying,
stories too.
Like what you were saying before, what's right and what's wrong?
It's black and white in a sense.
Yeah, but what is right and what is wrong?
Exactly. I feel like it's all about
the composer's intentions at the end of the day.
I think you're learning about
what they wanted. So you have to portray it in the way that they wanted it with their intentions.
Interpretation.
Yeah.
The interpretation is yours, but you got to play those notes.
Yeah.
And that is a bit...
It kills your creativity, doesn't it?
Not only that, it puts you under pressure because these composers were out in that time where... You're not going to have those people anymore.
Yeah.
You know, things like people like Mozart, exactly. Beethoven, and you're thinking, I can't emulate that.
No.
You know, but it does educate you when you think about it.
Yeah,
but it does educate you, and you think it does push you to those limits, and you think, all right, so do I want to go down this journey? You obviously said, all right, I've done it. Now I'm going to...
Next.
I'm going to turn left and I'm going to go down this road.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, for you and the way you have accepted it from a musical perspective is fantastic.
Yeah.
We've done rehearsals, mini rehearsals, and we've done gigs and stuff like that. And you always amaze me at how quick you are. You too. Like, you both are quick when you play.
We have the same backstory. Maybe classical music somehow subconsciously helped us in that.
Look, it does help with the foundations 100%. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't deny that. Like, it's important to know, but you have to – I think it comes down to the identity thing. Like, I think I was too young to kind of have that confidence to step out of it. And, it's interesting. You do get to a certain level and then – when you're at that level, you're either passionate about it or you're not. And me as a person, it just wasn't aligning, I think, with my personality too.
But I think it showed your maturity, even though you are young and you're younger than us, right? But it showed your maturity to actually say, all right, well, look, I did it and you know, it is good that I did it, but I am going to change that because a lot of young people, when they do a music course, it's... they do it in their own genre and they continue with it.
Yeah.
You've gone and did the hardest possible course you can do and the hardest genre you can do. And you said, all right, you know what? Fuck it. I've done it. Now I'm going to do what I want to do. And that says a lot about you and you as a person because it's not easy. It's hard and it can be stressful.
I couldn't live like that. Like, I think, I guess, like, coming out of high school, I would say, I feel like I've been on this big journey of like growth, and like I just want to be the best version of myself and be true to myself. And
that's,
I couldn't.
And that's
like,
outside of the realm of music, right?
Yeah. But they come hand in hand, because music is like, as a musician, that's like how you express yourself. Yeah. So you can't, like, I just could not stay trapped in that. Like it was.
Well, that's a self-awareness as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people end up, I stayed trapped in for that's longer true. Than I would have intended to.
Yeah.
So the self-awareness wasn't there. It was more like you said, you're
compelled to just.
Yeah, you're just like, I put all this work in. I want to do it. Keep doing it. Keep doing it until you lose the passion almost.
And and that's for me too. But I never put in 100% in classical music.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
I never. Even though I reached high standards.
You did high. Like, yeah, exactly. that's like, the same story. Yeah.
You know, I never put in 100%. Yeah. I always wanted to be a flamenco guitarist, and that was it. Yeah. I played flamenco before I did classical. I played flamenco during the classical thing, and I played flamenco after the classical. Right.
There you go. Yeah.
And that's where, you know what, the self awareness sometimes can play a trick on you.
Yes.
Right? Because you can have that self-awareness, but, you know, if it was obvious for me I was going to play flamenco, yeah, but if it's another musician saying, all right, I'm going to do classical and that, you know what, I'm going to do rock, all right? And if self-awareness kicks in, I'm a rock guitarist. And you go in there and it doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know, it's probably that thing where you want to do something different, but you have to pick on what you're going to do something with it, you know, like some musicians and some artists have the knack to play all these different genres, but not everyone, right? So I think you got to, when you get out of that schooling and stuff like that, thinking, all right, I've done it, I don't want to do this. What am I going to do? That's the question. What am I going to do?
Yeah.
Am I still going to play my instrument? Or am I going to change my instrument? What happens then if I want to change instrument? Then I have to learn that instrument from scratch. It won't be as hard because you've got an instrument already. But this is where your mind plays tricks on you, I think, as a musician, as an artist. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, it sounds really cliche, but you only have one life. Yeah. So you just have to do it. And we're all conditioned with this fear, whatever it is.
Conditioned.
Like,
I like that. We're all conditioned.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be.
We are, but we are, as a society, everybody, every single person has their insecurities, fears, whatever it is.
And that's how we're brought up. Whereas, you know, and I think this is where, you know, like you mentioned, what's right and what's wrong. There is no right and there is no wrong. You just live right now for the moment. You think, all right,
exactly.
What am I doing now? What am I doing right now? I'm doing this podcast. I'm doing this podcast with some amazing artists. And this is and live within that process, because...
And for yourself,
And for yourself,
like, because everyone has a different path and everyone has a different life. Everyone has a different journey. Yeah. Like, we're all brought up to think that we're gonna do the same thing and have the same path as this person.
Correct.
Have the same job as this person. Yeah. But it's like, you can do whatever you want. You just have to believe that you can do it and have that mindset.
But there will be some people saying that you can't do it.
Oh, there's many people.
You know, but you just gotta. Learn to ignore.
That stops us a lot of the time. Other people's judgments or views.
But apart from all of that,
very deep.
Very deep.
And I tend to go.
No, that's great.
But it's a necessity because you need to always think of yourself outside of that realm.
Yeah.
And that's when you produce some awesome stuff, right?
Yeah.
You have a knack to actually go into different genres, right? And when you're playing and you're singing and everything like that, and your background, you know, you've got a very rich background as well, right? Not only from a cultural perspective, but from a family perspective as well, with your music and everything like that. But when you change genres, when you go from one onto the other, and you think, oh, okay, bang, bang, bang. It's quite quick for you. Do you actually think when this happens, or does it just...
No. I don't think. It's kind of just... I don't know. It kind of just comes to me. I can't explain it. I think I have my own style. I don't think I've fully discovered my own style, but I feel like I do things in my way and the way that I think will make me sound the best. Yeah. And that's the only way that I can really explain it. But I also listen to a lot of different things. So I think that probably influences your style. Yeah.
Yeah, the listening.
Yes. And it's funny because like I don't really listen to classical music. I listen to pretty much everything else. So it's.
You spent years listening to it. So I get it that you're taking a little break.
A little bit sick of it. Yeah.
Well, you're a bit like that too.
I'm not really. Everything. I'm only just starting to listen to classical again now.
Wow.
But it's only for a couple of minutes and then I have to change.
That's it.
But when you listen to it, do you get a different appreciation for it?
You mean the classical music?
Like when you go to it, when you go back to
it now. Oh, yeah, definitely. When I go back to it now, because I've taken it's that break that I guess that not being attached to that past, like you said, kind of being in that present, going, wow, this is actually quite moving. And definitely. And you hear different things in it now as opposed to I've listened to it maybe 5 years ago.
And when you get to my age, you listen to the same thing, you'll listen to different things once again.
Maturity
that gets instilled in your mindset, and you think, you know what, this is fantastic.
Yeah.
Whereas 20 years ago, you wouldn't listen to it.
Yeah. Or you think, how did I play that? Or like, how did
I
learn that? Like,
why?
What?
Why?
Yeah.
Did I,
what was I thinking?
What was I thinking? I can't play that. You know, sometimes you think, there's some things, some pieces you struggle to play, and you're not giving up until you play it, and it never comes 100%, right? And you think, why did I waste my time? I'm not going to play it like they do. They're the original. No. What was I thinking? Why did I spend like 8.5 hours for 6.5 months on this one piece to get it perfect? And you think, what a waste of time.
But it teaches you resilience, I guess.
Yes, it teaches you.
You become strong. And that's why I feel like we are the way we are, and like we enjoy it, the other side of it, so much, because we can appreciate that. Like, you can just have fun with it.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Have fun with it. Sometimes when you're and when you're younger, you can't have fun with it because you're taking it too seriously.
Yeah.
And you think, man, why did I take it too seriously?
That was like me even when I first started playing with you guys. I was like, but what am I going to play? Like, how am I going to do it? And what if I make a mistake and this and that?
Mistakes sometimes are there to be made.
Exactly.
For your own journey, for your own development. And sometimes mistakes.
100%.
Mistakes aren't mistakes.
Exactly. That's the other thing.
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Well, there's a lesson in everything. Yeah, so both musically and non-musically. Like, they teach you things. You need to have them to learn.
Definitely. The takeaway from music and music, from a perspective where there are generations like of musicians and gaps in generations and everything like that, I think the more mature generations will, obviously they've got the experience and everything like that, but sometimes what I make an effort is to actually listen to the younger generations, because there are new sounds coming out, new things coming out, and you can't, from my perspective, you can't sit on your belief saying that, you know, that this is the way it's done.
Well, it's constantly evolving. It's always going to evolve.
And it's these younger artists like yourself that are evolving it, you know, that are bringing it in, because who would have thought that I was going to play an Adele piece until you rocked up? You know, it's like...
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it?
So it's funny that, you know, that concept that you have, and you have to sort of like change it within your own mindset.
Yeah.
It's hard to change for some people. I found it very hard to change early on in my life, but now I can change like the wind. I'm open to
You're
everything.
Very adaptable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I am. I wasn't like 10 years ago. It was like just what I'm doing and that's it. No, I'm not going to stray to anything else. And that was a bit of ego as well. And this is where the ego needs to drop, you know, and you have to start, because there's so much out there. There's so many different sounds and so much beauty within the music and the artists themselves. It's just listen, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that's very, very, very important. But Amla, you have a lot of similarities with Dylan.
Yeah, I know. It's great to know. Oh no, we're here to talk about you, but we can have a coffee.
Yeah, I just started taking over the podcast.
Your chai. Have some chai.
You have some.
Yes,
I have. I wanted to ask about specifically to your singing. Like,
yes.
I mean, were you trained? Did you train to sing, or did you just start singing on your own accord? And
so I always just kind of loved it when I was little.
And you were singing just, anyway, you were saying.
Yeah, like it just came sort of naturally when I was a kid, but I was very shy both as a person and both to like express it, because I feel like singing is a bit more personal. And like the way you perform singing, you're very much interacting with the audience a lot more and you're the front of the stage. So, I've never loved being like the center of attention, and it just was very intimidating for me.
Mm.
But yeah, I started to love it even more growing up, and I was in choir and stuff. But even then, that wasn't even really like me. Like it wasn't R&B or anything like that. So my friends had sort of heard me sing, and they were like really encouraging me, and just little things here and there, like at school, they would get me up and stuff, and everyone would love it. Like, this is the thing. No one's ever told me that I'm not good or that I have a bad voice. Or
because you don't. Your voice is so silky smooth.
If anyone wants to say that, they have to answer to me.
They need to get their ears checked. Sorry, continue.
But I was like, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. Like, my voice is just not good enough. I've never had, like, I was just so set on this idea, and like it was really hard for me to put myself out there. And then when I finished school, I made this music account because I wanted to start uploading music, and I really wanted to like play guitar and sing, or play piano and sing, because I would see a lot of artists. Like, I don't know if you guys know Tori Kelly.
I've heard of Tori Kelly.
Yeah, so she's like, before she got bigger, she was doing a lot of covers on YouTube, just her and her guitar, and I loved her. I was like, I want to be exactly like her. So yeah, I made a music account so that I could kind of upload stuff, but I also didn't really want to be seen. That's why I did it like on a separate account. So it was just like a kind of taster to sort of get myself out there, and I was so anxious about it. Like, I would upload a video and I would just overthink it so much. And I was like, should I delete it? Should I not delete it? And mind you, I've had a lot of like performance anxiety as well, which you guys can probably relate to.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's another thing. But yeah, so then I slowly started, like, I pushed myself with the music account. And what I was going to say before was like, no one has ever not really believed in me. It's always been me that hasn't believed in me. And it's really powerful, because you have to be that person to believe in yourself.
So true, Dylan.
I
think we're all in the same boat.
Yeah.
And you know, it doesn't matter what generation you are.
Nah.
We're our own worst critics, aren't we?
We're our own worst enemy, for sure.
And how many times have you recorded something and said nah?
Oh, so many times. Or like, even if I do upload it, I still won't be happy with it. I would have recorded it like 500 times. It's just like countless videos in my camera roll.
Yeah, I get you. I feel you.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the end of the day, we got to overcome that at some point.
Yes.
And I think with maturity also comes that part of everything, because you got to release things. You got to think, put things out there into the universe. If it's always about that anxiety, it's not good enough, we're never going to play.
Exactly. So I feel like that's where I'm at now. Like, I've kind of let go of a lot of that. Like, I've still, obviously, that perfectionism still stays with you. Yeah. But like, now I upload on my real account, and like, I sing in public, and I don't care. Like, I've definitely come into myself more. So I think that's what helps, when you learn to trust yourself and you find yourself a little bit more. It all ties in with each
definitely.
Other.
And I think it'll be even better for you when you start playing with different people and you start collaborating, and you start intertwining with different people, where, you know, different musicians, different artists, different characters, you know, and that will make you a bit more resilient as well.
Yes.
Speaking from experience, because sometimes you'll find someone where, you know, these experienced musicians, and you shit yourself through, because I've done being in that same position. You think, what am I going to play, you know, and how am I going to do it? But they're the people that you learn from as well.
Yeah.
Right. And there are going to be other people that are struggling as well, and they're the people that you need to teach.
Yeah.
So that's how I see it. It's a flow on effect. You need to, you know, music is there for everyone, and art in general. You know, you got to take something back, but that thing that you take back, you got to give as well. So there's an exchange.
Yeah.
If you always play for yourself, if you always play yourself, that's where your ego goes higher, higher. And that's where you start to, and people notice this on stage, that's where you start to lose sight of why you're doing everything.
Yeah.
That's what I noticed. And I've been through that ego thing, you know, oh, playing and oh my God, you know, I'm the best in the world. It doesn't happen like that. It's all up here. But when you start playing for the people and you start playing for the people on stage, when you start that interaction that you have and that, that
conversation.
That, the magic.
You don't notice it until you're in the
people moment. They don't notice it on that are watching.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, you know, when we did our gigs, it was people noticed the energy. It's like it was like, oh, this is really good energy. You can see them communicating and them having fun. They're smiling and they're playing, you know? And this is something that you can't emulate. You can't. You know, and that's where it's very important for you to be aware and say and just accept that moment and say this is a good moment. Just play.
Yeah.
You know, and that's very very important to have that that energy with musicians because you'll find artists that you'll click with and you'll find artists that you won't click with.
Yeah. You know? Well, there's a lot of different people out there and there's a lot of different genres and some people are like. Out there like they're in it to win it and like I think it's like really important to appreciate everyone's talent than comparing like obviously sometimes it's hard to do that especially when you have your own insecurities and stuff but like I feel like I've learned to just appreciate everyone's talent and you can learn from everyone and like you said
so good to hear that from you
because
you've got your whole life ahead of you. I've only just stopped comparing like only just yesterday. Figuratively speaking, right?
It's hard though. Like it's such a human thing to do. Everyone has strengths and weaknesses and like you want a bit of this and you want a bit of that, but you just have to embrace and work with what you have. And everyone's winging it too at the end of the day.
Oh,
everyone seems like they know what they're doing, but it's like
so true, especially in today's age where you've got a lot of stuff going on in the music industry. You got technology, you got people coming out, you got social media, you got this, you got that. Everyone's winging it.
Is the biggest deception ever.
Yeah. Earlier on, it was like, and you know this, if you got a record deal, that was it, you're set.
Yeah.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
I think we're talking about this. Yeah.
Now it's like, doesn't mean you're anything. Winging it. You're winging it not every day, every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Because if you're not on social media, if you're not on this, if you're not on that, if you're not, you know, that's the anxiety that I'm dealing with now. Not about playing, not about people, not
marketing
about
marketing yourself.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's a whole other
killing
thing.
Me too. I'm done.
Yeah.
I
think
I
that's
saw your face
I think that's me too at the moment. Like not that I haven't gotten into the marketing as much as you guys.
Seen
I'm already
I need more
enough.
From you.
I've already given up. I haven't even
how many
started.
You have
yeah, that's the thing.
That's bullshit.
It's a lot about your image, which it always has been, but like now everyone can do it. Anyone can have a platform.
Yeah.
And it's like there's this competition with following and how much content you upload and what you put on there and how you look, how you sound.
That's the thing, huh?
It's more about how good you look than what good you're actually doing. In a way, sometimes.
That's a quote right there. Flow.
Yeah, definitely.
But
third cohort.
Yeah.
You're definitely right, Dylan. And this is the things that we struggle as a human being, not just an artist, right? And it doesn't matter what age you are. Social media is what it is. It doesn't matter. Now it's actually. You need to target your audience. You know, that's the thing that I get all the time.
Yeah.
You need to target your audience.
How the
do I know what my audience is? Because if I play like 10 different genres, what is my target audience?
So everyone? Yeah. Just put everyone, you know, as the target audience.
This is where those marketers come in and say, we can find out your target audience.
Just pay us
this much money.
The promos.
Yeah.
Mm.
I think, obviously it's easier said than done, but you just need to do you and you will find your audience.
So true.
Your people.
So true.
But it's easier said than done because social media doesn't work like that. Like it's very, you can blow up overnight, but I think you have to be consistent, and there's like a process, and it's about longevity. Like, it's not, people correct. Think like short term, and yeah. like you'll just upload this one video and you'll blow up. Like, maybe years ago that could have happened, yeah, but not now. Now it's like every single person is blowing up with TikTok, Instagram.
Yeah. Oh,
TikTok. Doesn't matter, like,
yeah.
anyone can blow up. You need to be consistent, and you need to do it, be doing the next best thing.
And you have to like, be on the right platform.
Yeah, that's
TikTok
too.
Is for the younger people. Instagram is now getting for the mid-range, and Facebook is for the pensioners. So that's what I heard.
Oh, my God.
But so you need to go across all these platforms. And
yeah.
It's a different machine. It's a different ball game. But you're right. You have to just do you.
Yeah.
And if people like it, they'll like it. If they don't, they don't. And if they, you know, it's... But it's a bit hard because there are some artists that just stay home and just do that.
Yeah. And it's hard when you're trying to make a living off of that because there's more pressure.
Oh, that's another, yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. Whereas like,
we want to be out there on stage and play as well.
Well, yeah, that's the other thing. Like, people are hiding behind their screens, and I think, not that there's a problem with this, but like a lot of people record, but it's not live music. And it's like, I don't know, it just comes across like not as authentic.
Yeah, it's sometimes. Staged.
Yeah.
Whereas live is live.
Yeah,
you know?
and you can't hide.
The thing when you go and see a live band is like, and this is why I go out and see live bands. That energy.
Yeah.
You're not gonna. You can't give that energy through a video. I mean, you can see it, and you can see the people having fun. But when you're there, it's a totally different thing. And when you're playing, it's a different level once again. You know, it's an amazing experience, and I think. People know that though. There's a lot of people that know that. They know that.
Everyone knows that. That's why they go there.
Yeah, that's why they go.
Escape because it's like it's this experience that you can't get it through a screen.
Yeah,
like
of
it's
course.
Not the same as watching it on your phone.
Yeah.
That energy being either on stage or being in the audience, it's something that you just can't even explain.
Yeah. And the way I use social media and everything is like that is if I've got a gig coming up, I'll do a bit of a clip. And I'll record a bit of a promo for it and, you know, record a bit of playing and this and that. That takes time.
Yeah, like, it does.
People who post every day and do that, good on them because that takes time.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
that's a whole day sometimes, and stuff.
But
right?
I just wonder, good on them. Like, what goes through other people's heads? Like, are they as harsh on themselves as we are? Like, because when I record even a 30-second clip, I'm like, no, again.
You'd be surprised. Again. They are. There's a lot of people like that. And then when they bring it out, that's why they've probably spent 8 hours on it for the day and then they edit it and they do that and then bang, that's what it is. Especially some of these guitarists that shred, they're amazing.
Oh,
some of these kids are just
insane.
Forget it. You think, man, I can feel my arthritis kicking in. You know? It's like
literally, it's a physical like
playing an instrument. And it's amazing. Oh. But when you think how long did it take him to actually record that little thing? Some people probably do it off the bat, but some people take a bit more time. So that's time in itself. So you're investing time in that. You're investing time in the gig that you're probably going to be playing to promote it. You're investing time in rehearsals. You're investing time in composition. Everything becomes sort of like a race.
Yeah.
You know, and this is something that I've sort of like accepted. I'm still getting used to it. But for people from your generation that are coming up, I think they find that a bit more easier than us. I think maybe it's bang, they do it, whatever, bang, they'll do it, and that's it. They're probably faster on the technology.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. A bit more tech savvy.
Yeah. But when it comes to the actual music and playing everything, I know that when I go on stage, I'm going to give it my all. It doesn't matter. I'm going to give it as much as I can on the night. So, and that's a different thing. It's different, as you said, playing behind the screen, behind the camera, and different playing live. So, and you have that quality, that star quality, that aura about you when you come on stage and you're you probably don't think it. But
you don't realize it about yourself. Like I'm always concerned with like how, especially like coming into singing. I start thinking like, am I interacting enough or am I looking confident enough? Like, because I think as a person, the way I carry myself is quite confident. But sometimes when I get on the stage.
We all look like that, but we're all crumbling inside.
Yeah, we are.
But you have that knack where, especially when you start singing and it transcends people. It's like, all right, what is this girl going to do? Like, where is this girl? And when you start singing, it's like, oh. shit.
I agree.
It's like,
I really
you command the like the attention's on you as soon as
which is
the first note comes out.
Sometimes I forget to play because I'm listening. I'm serious. I forget to play. It's like
coming from you guys.
This girl is like,
your voice, again, it's just wow. Yeah.
Look, and like we've had the pleasure of being on the stage with you, and after that gig in December, it's like people come up to me and they go, "Who's the girl?"
Yeah, yeah.
They don't care about me. They don't care about anything. I'm really hyped about it because it's a pleasure for me to hear that because I'm playing with you on stage. It's a pleasure to share the stage with you, you know. And it's like, they go, "Oh, the girl, who's the girl?" I go, the girl is amazing, but you know, I was on stage as well.
You know, it's my concert. Yeah,
but look, you know, if there's anything that you know that is, you know, when you have goosebumps and stuff, anything that is such a good energy, such a good vibe to have is when a musician on stage is actually listening to the other musicians on that because they're doing something in that, and you think, oh shit, I'm losing my focus because I'm listening.
So true.
So that's such a good feeling to have.
It is. Yeah, we need more of that.
Yeah.
Because it's important to listen though, because like we were saying, you need to communicate through.
Yeah, because we're the audience too sometimes on stage.
Yeah, we forget to listen while we're playing. Like we tend to sometimes, and that's another skill,
well,
right?
Yeah. Nervous too. Like, yeah. I remember. Yeah, it's hard. Like when you're so nervous, like I need to start now, or like it's hard to focus on.
And not only that as well, but sometimes you get in the groove and you just sit on the groove and you think, man, and you forget what comes next. It's like, oh, how are we gonna get out of this groove?
Yeah.
It's like, but you're enjoying it so much. You're enjoying the energy on stage, and no drug or nothing is gonna give you that
rush.
Experience, that rush.
Yeah,
you know
exactly,
but. That is something that you have. You have that star quality. You have that, you know, that thing. I've always said in my life, I go, the vocal instrument is the hardest. I go, I would give my talents, all of my talents on all the instruments that I know, I will give them away to have the ability to sing.
I remember you saying this to me and I cannot believe it. I wouldn't give up.
I would give it all up.
Wow.
I'll give it all up to be able to sing.
Insane.
Jeez.
Yeah, yeah. I think the voice is just something
but
that
there's
is.
There's only one Valentino.
But
don't give up your.
No,
I'm saying if the. If,
yeah, I know,
you know,
I'm just like,
if the devil was to come and give me your soul to sing, here's my soul. It's like, that's how much I appreciate singing and good singing. Maybe because I was brought up with a singer as well. My dad was a singer.
Yeah.
But even apart from that, it's an instrument when you look at the voice and you think, I can learn to play the guitar. I can learn to play the keys. I can learn to play this. And you know, there are techniques and this and stuff like that. But the voice is like, you gotta, when you sing, when you hear someone that's bang on and it's right there and you can hear it and you think it transcends you, you know? And that's what you have, you know? When you start singing, it's like, man.
Yeah,
that's what
you can't learn.
You can't learn.
No, like if some people can sing and they have a good technique, but it doesn't take you anywhere. It's proficient.
Correct. Yeah,
and I know because I feel. I mean, I'm not going to go into it. I'm working on that because I'm doing a bit more singing. But I feel like it's at the moment it's proficient. But But then like when, you know, sometimes you just hear someone sing and like you said, you can't explain it.
You can't explain it.
Yeah,
so
it just
true,
happens
Amla.
So effortlessly.
So I think it's because I enjoy it that much that it just comes from my soul.
Yeah,
that's the only way I can put it.
And stick to that because
yes, please.
And when you enjoy it and when you think that I love doing this, that's when it's gonna say to you, yeah, you love it. Here's more, and this is where it's gonna actually transcend you as well because it's easy for an artist, it doesn't matter whether a musician or a painter or a sculptor, it's easy for an artist to go down a different path, a bad path, right? With everything, with finances and getting popular or getting this or getting people to see my work or hear my work. It's very easy because they're all the elements that play with you every day, right? That one time where you're going to play and perform, that really should be the time where all this doesn't matter, you know. But we don't do it as often as we want. As us we can.
No,
if we can do
true.
That as often as we can, we wouldn't worry about anything else. You know?
I feel like it's also hard here. I mean, I don't know. But I feel like the industry is a lot smaller.
Oh, of course. In Australia. But in saying that, now that with all this technology, and this is the positive of technology, right? Because we've been talking about the negatives, but the positive of technology is that you don't have to be in certain places to actually make music, to produce music, to do your art, to do your, to create. You can be anywhere in the world, right? Because it's everything's so connected now.
Yeah.
So if you think about it on that level and you think, I can produce a song right here and it can be popular, I don't know, in South Africa. That's a big plus. You know, that's massive.
Yeah.
Whereas maybe it's not here, but it's popular somewhere. It's in the universe somewhere. It's there. Mm. You know?
It's accessible to everyone. It doesn't matter where you are. Yeah. It's true.
You recently came from overseas. You went overseas for a holiday.
Yeah,
how was it?
I did. It was good. It was really good. Perfect time. I think I went for a month. So it's like such a good time to get away.
Where'd you
go? I went to UK first, London and Manchester.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
I went to Portugal, Lisbon and Porto.
Oh, nice.
And then Spain, we didn't even really spend time in Madrid. There was a few problems, but we went Madrid, Seville, which was one of my favorites. How did you find Seville?
I actually lived in Sevilla. I lived there.
I was going to ask you. Yeah. Wow.
I lived right behind the bull ring. You know where the bull ring was?
I don't even know if I went there.
There's a massive bull ring and I just lived right behind it.
It was amazing. That was like my vision of Spain when I stepped into
it. It's quite cliche, Spain. You know,
it is. You think of Spain, it
is what it is. It's not.
Exactly. Exactly. And yeah, I think I expected that a little bit more from Barcelona, but like it's just, I guess, another.
Barcelona is it's a very artistic place. It's got the arts everywhere.
It's really big. You know, I don't think I spent enough time there. Like it was a bit overwhelming to kind of explore it in a few days. Same with London. Like the big cities, it felt very overwhelming to me. But you need a lot of time there.
You do. Did you go to Cyprus?
No, I want to. I will definitely go back. Cyprus and Turkey I want to do because I want to reconnect with. Yeah. I want to reconnect with my culture again. The last time I went there, I was 8.
Yeah.
See, so that's a long time ago. Yeah.
I'd love to go to Cyprus and Turkey as well.
I'd love to go.
We were very close to going a few years ago. We went to Macedonia and we were very close to going. But I don't know, I don't know what happened and we didn't end up going because we were going to go down to Bodrum for a bit.
Oh, just to relax. So nice. Yeah.
But I'd love to go to Cyprus as well. You know, your cousin has told me a bit about it and so has Arif Dinenche as well. So.
Yeah.
But, do as much traveling as you can while you're young. Yeah. That's the only thing I can say.
Did you guys travel a lot?
Well, I lived in Spain for a while.
Yeah.
I traveled. Then when I came back, I went to Macedonia. I met my wife there. And a year later, we got married. And then we've been going to Macedonia. Everything. But Europe is a different taste.
I have yet to go to Europe.
You should go.
I'm trying to go next year.
You kind of feel at home there if you are European. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Especially if you go to the places where there's that energy of art, you know, and there's that everywhere in every city in Europe. You'll sense that, you know, even in the big cities, like in Europe.
Yeah.
Apart from Germany and I think Sweden and stuff like that, all these other countries that are further down, you won't see skyscrapers a lot. Not like here. You see the actual architecture of the buildings, the old buildings.
Crazy. Oh, I'm looking forward to beautiful. That.
It's like outside of a movie, especially Seville. I was
you see the horse and carriage? They still have horse and carriages.
For the tourists. But.
Yeah.
And you're just walking and there's these huge castles everywhere. Yeah. Like architecture is insane.
Yeah. Crazy. An amazing country, an amazing place. But Europe is that. But we've also got some really good stuff here.
Yeah. So it did different give me a new appreciation for Melbourne as well because we have everything here.
Yeah.
Everything.
We're very lucky. We should be very grateful for everything that we have here as well. But what are you working on now, Dylan?
Yes, please tell us.
You've got a couple of you've got a pretty big gig coming up.
Yeah. So at the moment I'm actually doing something that I thought I would never do, which is singing in Turkish.
That's all right.
It's all right. It's good. It's
you're singing for a pretty big star as well.
Yes. So Buray is coming to Melbourne, which it's going to be really fun. Like, I know most of the band members anyway, and everyone is so talented. Yes, so do you. Everyone's so talented and fun to play with, and it's been really good. We've been having rehearsals the last few weeks. I'm excited. This is my first time, I think, doing backup vocals for someone. So I'll be on backups and bit of keys. Yeah. So
I think they're very lucky to have you.
Oh, they're very lucky. And that's next Friday?
Next Friday in Melbourne? And then in Melbourne, then Saturday in Sydney.
Yay.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it?
I'm excited. I don't think it's really hit me yet. I think once we start rehearsing at the venue, I'm going to be like.
Yeah. I think once you're there on stage for the live event, that's when it'll hit.
Because I don't think I've done a concert like this before. I had like a brief look on YouTube at one of his concerts, and like even all the live the lights and everything, and I'm like,
Big.
I've never done anything like this before. So it'll
Buddha used to be our Melbourne boy as well.
Yeah, he used to perform with my cousin. He was in a band.
Oh wow!
So this is where he sort of like he sort of started his journey, and then he just went big, blew up in Turkey, and he's good on him. Good on him. He's very, very good friends with your cousin too.
Yeah.
with Arif.
Yeah, great. Oh.
But you should totally enjoy the moment and the experience. You know, you're gonna smash it. Apart from that, you got some recording coming up as well.
Yeah, so I have been working with someone behind the scenes. We have a few songs coming out. I think one of them should come out, which Valentino's on as well. Yeah. It's called Exactly What You Need. So that will that will come out probably in the next couple of months. So stay tuned.
Cool.
For that.
And you are you planning on some other sort of projects? Because I know we've had a project in the past, which it's been on hiatus a little bit, but we're going to start getting that back.
Yes. So that's exactly what I want to start doing.
Yeah, we're going to start that again with your cousin, but we're going to change it a little bit this time around just to make it a bit more challenging for ourselves. So we have that little project as well. But is there anything else that you're working on as well, or is
not particularly right now, but there's been a few people wanting to work with me. So there's like a few kind of projects up in the air which haven't been started yet. Yep. And I would love to create more because I do think I thrive a lot in the studio. And I just love coming up with melodies and different harmonies and arranging.
Well, you're actually on the project with Arif Derenca as well.
Yeah.
You were in the studio. How did you find that?
That was really fun as well. It was different too because it was Turkish. And when I've done studio in the past, it's been for me and it's been for my work. So it was really interesting, like taking his direction. But he also gave me like a lot of flexibility with it and just said, just go for it. Yeah, which was fun.
He's an amazing musician.
He is.
We'll get him on to the podcast. He's an amazing musician. He's also very humble, and also he should see himself as a massive musician. But that's a discussion we might have to have with him on the podcast.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah. An amazing person too. But
you've done amazing on that project.
Look, I just did it with all the love I had, you know, because I actually really appreciate what Arif's going through. He's on this journey, and he's wanted to do this for a long time, and it's coming to fruition, and that's a big thing, you know. For some people, you know, recording an album, even recording a single, for some people it's a massive thing, you know. Sometimes we take it for granted. But for some people it's like a massive thing, and when you see that passion, you want that same passion, so you want to do it with love, and that's the most important thing. But you went in a few times.
Yeah. So how many songs were there on the album?
There's about six or seven.
So yeah, we did quite a few recording sessions, and I think I really enjoyed actually playing around with the keys on his songs. Yeah.
They had the grand in there.
They had a Nord too.
Yeah.
Different things. And then I think the recording style was a lot different than what I'm used to, because I've recorded like more R&B stuff, and it's a little bit more structured, less improvised. So we do takes over and over and over again, see what you're happy with, and in shorter
How
blocks.
How was that experience? Because the structured and everything, it can be a bit, it's a different ballgame, right?
I think
someone's actually producing, someone's telling you, all right, here, play here, this, play that, you know?
Yeah.
How did you find that?
From like a perfectionist perspective, the way that I recorded with Arif was so fun, but recording like for that long and then if you make a mistake, it's like, oh, like, or if you, if there's something in there that you don't like, it's like, oh, I have to like record all over again. Yeah. But you end up getting really good results as well. Yeah, and like I said, he was very flexible and kind of just let me pick my own chords, and I was going based on what you guys were doing anyway. But like, yeah, it was really good. I think, yeah, it wasn't what I was used to though, because I'm used to filming like shorter blocks.
Yeah.
Which
it was more of a traditional style of, recording. Yes,
100%.
You know, it's more of a traditional style of recording where you're going into the studio, you're in there, someone's in the back recording you and saying, all right, now, you know, and it can be a bit intimidating sometimes, you know, but it's not always that that you're right. You're not always in that zone where you feel that you can, you know, go in there and punch it out.
Exactly. You have to be in the mood. And I did find a few times when I went in there and I was a little bit tired, the ideas weren't coming to me as much.
I know your cousin was a bit tired one night when we went in to record. He did amazing stuff on the bass, but one night when we went in, I think he was a bit tired as well because he came back. He was like from work straight there. Yeah.
It can be very like tiring.
Yeah.
But amazing. Like I love being in there, but you actually do come out sometimes feeling so tired and drained. And you look at what you've done and you're like, it's a lot, but it's not at the same time.
Yeah. You start at the standard. Think, oh, I could have done this better. Or I could have done that better.
But and recording, only a few things take so long, especially in that traditional style. Mm. It's not like bang, bang, bang. It's like, okay, we need to.
And it's good that you touched on this because I did the same with Arif, with both Arifs and your cousin. Like we went in.
Yeah.
And we recorded it and there were some technical issues and stuff like that, but that's part of the process, right?
But
I said to Arif, I go, Arif, let me record these at home because I know I can get the best out of myself at home.
Yeah.
So he said, yeah, no worries, Ale. Just do it.
Yeah.
And then I'd record it at home where I knew I could analyze things a bit more and play things better to my ability.
And you know your settings.
Yeah, like I know my stuff. Your microphone. I know. Yeah. And I actually record better and play better when I'm in my own environment. And when people ask me to record for them, I always say to them, give me what you have and I'll record it at my house because I'll do it at my own leisure and I'll do it to the best of my ability because there in a recording studio, you're under the pump because you've got time. You're racing against the clock and you're racing against yourself mentally whether you can do it or not, right?
And you're working with all this equipment that you don't even – well, like instruments that you haven't played before and also technology that you know, he's used it multiple times, but it's one of those big studios. It's not just like a laptop and Logic. Like
exactly.
It's like so overwhelming. Yeah. I don't know what any of those buttons are. Yeah. Only the record one.
And look, that's a good experience to have too. But at the end of the day, you got to be happy with what you give as well, you know. 100%. And with Arif's project, I've done it with love. I think it's going to be an amazing album. I said to him, go straight to Turkey with it.
Yes, I said the same thing.
Yeah, just go straight to Turkey and he'll get picked up straight away. I reckon he's in that zone now where he's just loving that ride, and that's an awesome place to be.
It's got that unique like Latin flavor.
It has
in it, which I think Turks love, and they kind of. You hear it in a lot of live Turkish music too, always on the albums.
No.
It's like you don't always hear it in the studio.
But I think Arif's is going to be a bit different because it's not only Latin, it goes into other things as well. And he's got some pure flamenco stuff in there as well. Yeah. So it's a bit of an added thing, you know, and it's he's got so many different songs. They're just different. Every single one of them is different.
Exactly.
It's just different. It's like different genres almost, you know.
All so, catchy too and the lyrics are really good. Like I think he'll go far with it.
You should start going down that path.
I want to, because this is the other thing. I don't know if you relate to this too, but I've never been a writer. Like I was always kind of too scared to write music in a way. Like I've always been creative, but I didn't start actually writing till like maybe a few years ago. And I tend to get like a writer's block a lot.
So you're talking about music or lyrics or both?
More lyrics, actually, I would say. Because
music, you can
Music is easy.
You can bang, 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 throw out a melody.
Sometimes, though, like, I have too many ideas and I find it hard to simplify what I'm, yeah.
Mm.
And like your song that you did with my cousin, it just reminded me of me because I was like, I feel like there's just so many ideas, but so cool. D-Journey? Like, yeah,
yeah, D-Journey,
so
yeah. Yeah, it takes you on a journey.
Love
yeah.
that. Yeah.
But that, you know what I did with that? Yeah, I just let loose on my creativity.
That was crazy, bang. But it also makes sense. Like, yeah. There's so much in there, but it makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Your cousin came in and he goes, "This is a big one." But he smashed it. I don't think both of us, we haven't played like that before. For both of us, we haven't played.
And the piano
like that.
Too.
Oh yeah, I did that too.
That was crazy. Yeah. I was like, wow. That. Yeah.
It's actually an electric piano. I just let loose some creativity on that one. I just, you know what? It's no holds barred. It doesn't matter. I don't expect it to sound like this or to sound like that. But when it started getting traction, when it started getting created, and then your cousin came in and put the bass, I think, mate, this is quite good. So
yes.
It's not unlike anything we've done before. So
that's the point, right?
Yeah, that's the point. And that's the journey I'm
that's
taking
what you
now.
That's what you need to do. Like, it's your that's own flavor.
That's
like,
the journey I'm taking now. I'm going into so many different things now and it's I'm finding these so cool. These journeys, these little paths are making me very, very happy. So that's where I'm headed. But Dylan, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on. We're going to have you
thank
on
you
again.
Thank you for having me, guys.
We're going to have you
great.
On.
Fun, yeah.
We're going to see if we can get her on when we do the musical musings.
Oh, instance. Yes. The panel.
The panels.
Yes.
And stuff.
Ooh, what's that?
So we have a few people coming in.
Conversation with more than three
more people. Just getting different views. Yeah. Having a bit of a laugh. Having cool. a bit of a conversation. We'll get you in. We had your cousin on last time.
Oh, that's right.
The,
yeah.
Yeah. So we'll get you on the next one. But thanks once again, Dylan. Our pleasure.
Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah,
this is fun.
Anytime. Thank you.
Just also thank you to Cake Eclipse.
Yay.
For these beautiful sweets. We'll get into them after the podcast. But Dylan, thanks once again. Until next time, ciao.
The Strike a Chord Podcast, presented to you by ValentinoFlamenco.com and AmlaMusic.com.